Well, hey, welcome again to Living Hope. I'm Pastor Tim. As you've already heard, we're going to hear some testimonies this morning. We'll jump back into Romans next week. If you're with us in the fall, we're going to pick right back up where we left off, Romans chapter 7, if you want to go ahead and read ahead this week. We look forward to continuing that series through the end of next summer. And so we're grateful to God for that opportunity. You know, it's interesting as we talk about hearing testimonies. A testimony is giving witness, is testifying to what God has done in your life. But the very first testimony is actually God's testimony. 1 John chapter 5 says, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." That God's testimony is born in us, that you have the testimony of God, his witness, his account in your heart as the Spirit of God and the grace of God fill you with eternal life through God's Son, who was born and lived and died and rose again. And so these brothers and sisters are going to come up and share what God has done in their life. They're going to give testimony to the eternal life that they're not just waiting for, but that's already at work in the victory and the life that they have in him. And so I want to begin inviting up Joseph Fockler. Joseph and Jen have been in our church for about a year, and he's just going to share a powerful testimony of how the Lord has worked in his life and how eternal life has been born in his heart. And so we're excited. Kick us off, brother. Give glory to God of what he's done in your heart.
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to start today with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day of worship. We just pray, Lord, that these testimonies today will be edifying to the church and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. I think the hardest thing for me to do is try. I'm going to do more of like a really mini life story. So I'm going to try to like get it all in the time. So I'm a little nervous about that, but I'll try my best. I was born in a Christian household. We went to church every day, every week. We went to Sunday school, but I never really knew the Lord. I said that I believed in Jesus Christ, but I never had fruit. I never really walked in my faith, and I had a pretty normal childhood. And I got up to around high school age, I was a loner. I felt really awkward. I didn't have a lot of friends. I actually didn't have any friends at all. And I remember I really desired that. What I should have done is had a church body around me and had that relationship with the Lord, but I didn't know him. I got to the point of where I got out of high school, and there was the partying crowd, people who partied, and I felt accepted with them. It wasn't like I wanted to go out and just start drinking and doing drugs, but I felt accepted in that community. They weren't really my true friends, as I found out later on, but I got into a really bad drug addiction and alcoholism. I became an intravenous heroin addict, and I did that for many years. I lied, cheated, and stole, and I was just living even toward, with the world standards, a really despicable life. It's not what I chose, but I kept living that life until I couldn't really go on anymore. I was either going to recover or die, literally, because my body couldn't take it anymore. So I started going to rehabs. I finally went to a rehab that worked, and I started going to AA meetings, NA meetings, and I got better. That was in 2000. I've been sober ever since and drug-free. Thank you. I give all the credit to the glory of God, but still, I didn't know the Lord. And looking back when I got saved later on in my life, I look back and like God reigns on the just and the unjust. He helps people even when they're not his adopted into sonship, into his kingdom. So he was calling me is how I looked at it. He was saying, I will help you, but I still denied him. I still pushed him away. Even though I recovered, I didn't give him the glory and I didn't have a true faith. And then basically what I did is I switched addictions. I had like a lust addiction until I knew him later on in my life. That's a whole different story. But I just was lost. And what I finally started doing is I got into the occult. And it wasn't something that I wanted to do. Like, what the devil does is he pretends lots of times to be an angel of light. And I wanted to better myself. I wanted to become more spiritual. So I started getting into Hinduism, Buddhism. I started having a false, actually like mixed Christianity in there, but it's a false Christianity. And I started getting into Ouija boards, divining rods, crystals, about everything you can think of. And I was trying to, you know, tap into this, special power, you know, that you could find. And I was doing these really unclean meditations. And what basically happening is I was starting through meditation, literally communicating with demons. At the time, I thought that they were angels of light. And through my meditation, I was actually doing that. And when I shut my eyes, I could see pictures. And basically, what brought me to the Lord is I started to see that they weren't for my welfare. They were starting to direct me to do things that were really unholy. Thank the Lord that I had that background. Even though I didn't have a faith, I knew what was good and bad, basically. And that's when I woke up. And that's when I hit my knees and I surrendered to the Lord. And that's when I cried out to God. And I was like, what have I done? My whole life that I've been selfish. I've been focused on what I want. And I started purging everything out of my life immediately. I got rid of all that occult stuff. I started looking at movies, books, music, whatever it was. I just started purging everything out of my life. At the same time, I just started praying. I started reading the Word. I started going to church. I started going to prayer groups. I started becoming a part of life groups, watching sermons, just non-ceasingly, just searching for the Lord, crying out to Him. And I started to believe and have faith. I heard the gospel and I truly believed. And I started getting involved in church. I started serving an adoptive block at the church before now and started doing street ministry, preaching the gospel. I started and led a homeless ministry where we feed homeless and clothe them and gave the gospel. And I was on fire. I still am. But it's the grace of the Lord. He is filled with grace and mercy. And how I kind of look at the gospel, lots of times I'll look at it through the prism of the wrath of God. That since Adam and Eve sinned, we live in a sinful, broken world. And we have a sin nature. And for God to receive us into His kingdom eternally, He can't let a sinful person enter. He is holy and good. He is just. His nature won't allow it. So He sent down His only Son, Jesus Christ. And that wrath that He had for us, He put it on His Son. And Jesus Christ drank that cup of wrath intentionally for us. He became our substitute. He took on our sin. He became our sin and He died. And through Him we're justified. We are made righteous and we are made whole and free. Those demons started to leave, and now I have freedom in Christ and I can serve the living God. It is amazing, like a wretch like me. And a message I want to say to you guys, if you think you've dropped down too low in the scales of life of where you're at, you're not. That's exactly, if you're humble, that's exactly what God wants you to be. He wants you to get down on your knees in your heart, and maybe even literally on your knees if you can, and just cry out to Him and say, I need You, Lord, because without Him, we live in darkness, and with Him, we live in the light of Jesus Christ. And I just encourage anybody after hearing all these testimonies today, if they need prayer, please talk to somebody. Please pray with them. Come to me. If you have alcoholism or some kind of, if you know somebody involved in the occult, I can talk to them. You know, isn't that awesome? That's what our living God does. He takes the worst of what we've been through, and He can use that for His glory. We can meet people where they're at, and we can show them that there is a way, and His name is Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for letting me share. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank You, brother. Thank You. You know, that place of darkness and addiction that Joseph was in, did you hear how it began? Looking for acceptance. Looking to be accepted. you can find acceptance in Christ. Amen. I want to invite up Anna Williamson. You're going to be amazed this morning how different people's testimonies are and how each and every one, the Lord is at work. I've been blessed to watch Anna grow up in the church and marry her and her husband Sam, and encouraged to hear this morning how God's been working in her life.
Morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, I'm Anna Williamson. I've been attending Living Hope for about 15 years now, and it has played a pivotal role in my life. I can remember being in Sunday school as a kindergartner, remembering those times and the teachers and how it shaped me to who I am today. Funny how now I teach the same class with my husband. I've always attended Sunday school and youth group. In middle school and high school, it was really important to me that I built those friendships in youth group, considering I was homeschooled. Church was a great place to make those connections. I still hold those friendships close, whether they are near or far. It's really hard to tell when my walk with the Lord started, because I grew up in the church and it's all I've ever known. I thoroughly accepted Christ and got baptized when I was 9 years old here, and I have gotten more involved with what that really means after that. As a child, it felt really comforting to know that I had a God that always would love me and take care of me. After COVID hit, it took me a while to come back around to being involved in the church. I don't know how anybody else felt during that time, but for me, I just felt too comfortable in my own bubble at home that I never really thought about getting out and reconnecting with anybody once possible. So for a couple years, none of you really saw much of me. I will tell you the importance of staying connected and attended to church, because once I slipped away from it, it was easy to stay in my own space, and I did wander away from the Lord for a bit there. And I was lonely, and I felt like I never had an answer for anything, although it was there all along. It was God. After a bit, I did come back to church on Sundays, and my relationship with the Lord rekindled, but I wouldn't go to any other events, just Sunday service. A couple years ago, I was invited by my brother to come to Living Hope's young adult ministry, Dynamic. I was skeptical because I never really liked being the new person in situations and not knowing anybody, but I gave it a chance and went anyways. When I got there, I was quiet and nervous. To make it better, Jack already told everybody it was my birthday, so everybody warmly welcomed me with happy birthday, which made me feel more nervous that all eyes were on me. That night we played games and chatted. It really was a fun time, and I was glad I went. I attended the next Dynamic event, and that's when I began my friendship with my now husband, Sam. There I had even more warm and welcoming people there that I haven't met. Oh, sorry. After some time, Sam and I started dating, and then I joined him in the group he was in, life group. There I had even more warm and welcoming people that I hadn't met yet, that I've made lovely friendships with. More time passed, and Sam and I were engaged. Once Holly Stella heard that, being the generous lady she is, she said, "You two should get married here on their farm," so we did. It was also a blessing to be married by Pastor Tim. The time spent together with him doing counseling sessions before getting married has really helped shape our marriage. During the time leading up to getting married, and now even more than ever, especially the ones in our life group who knew us closer, were incredibly supportive and excited for us and how God has put Sam and I in each other's lives. It has been so sweet how these people that I once barely knew are now a key part of our lives, and how fun it is to see all of us grow. The friendships I've made with the ladies in this church is something that I believe I can't find easily anywhere else. From being there to be excited for one another and for having somebody else help hold you accountable, and for all of the gentle guidance of being a newlywed, it has been something irreplaceable. My friends have helped me learn how to be more patient with many things, but importantly, my marriage. It has been a learning curve being newly married. It was so meaningful to me having my friends by my side, helping me guide me with making this big decision to get married, and me choosing my husband as my best match for me. I've learned that when I make mistakes in my marriage, it's also important to ask God for that forgiveness too. We were his bride first. What I want this message of this testimony to be is to not be afraid to get out of your shell and just take a chance, meet those new people, join a life group, come to a men's ministry event or a women's ministry event, come to the young adult ministry or youth group. You may meet those people who need someone like you in their lives. An encouraging Bible verse for me has been Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. I thank God for the friends I have here at Living Hope, for them always giving me a chance when I was too afraid to get out and meet them, and for the first time, and I will always be grateful for Living Hope, the place where God brought together my husband and I. Thank you.
Amen. Man, how encouraging. You know, in the world, friendship can seem like, or sometimes sounds like, a superficial thing, but you hear that testimony. I mean, it's what has grown her and changed her life and brought community and accountability and support and forgiveness and powerful testimony to not only how God works in an individual life, but in the context of church family. I want to invite up Desmond Caldill next. Some of you know Desmond, as he's been a part of our church for a couple of years. Desmond is a special young man full of joy, always there with a smile and a handshake, and yet he's gone through a difficult season and had a significant loss, and yet he's here to testify to God's work in his life.
Good morning, Living Hope. I want to share a part of my story, how God has worked in my life. I was born to a mother who was incarcerated, and when I was only 3 days old, I was adopted. I grew up as the youngest in my family with an older brother and sister. My parents loved me, but their marriage was unequally yoked. My mom believed in God, but my dad did not. My mom and I went to a Methodist church. We attended regularly, but looking back, we were more out of habit than faith. I didn't really understand what church was about or why it mattered. I was restless and distracted. I was the kid that ran all over during the service while people tried to catch me and make me sit still. As I got older, I started making choices that pulled me in the wrong direction. I spent time online where I shouldn't have been. And at the same time, I began struggling with some depression. I did not know how to deal with that and how it felt, and I slowly found myself into a dark place. But God did not leave me there. Some friends from school invited me to their church for an overnight lock-in. At the time, it just sounded like something different to do, but I know God was using them to reach me. That night, I experienced God in a way I never had before. It felt real. For the first time, I actually wanted to know him, not because I had to, but because I wanted a relationship with God. After that, I started taking steps towards God with my best friends and through church. I also went to a couple Christian concerts, including one called Winter Jam. You might have heard of it. Through the music and worship, I felt God's presence, and my desire to follow him grew even stronger. One of my most meaningful moments in my journey happened at a revival in Kansas City. It was a cold, snowy night, and my best friend Reba and I rode the bus to get there. That night is something I'll never forget. I remember feeling that God was speaking directly to me, showing me the path I needed to take. During the service, the speaker pointed at me and asked me to come forward. I was nervous and honestly a little scared. I didn't understand why he chose me, but I went. And that night, I gave my life to the Lord. That decision changed everything. I'm still growing and I'm still learning, but I know that God is patiently shaping me into the man he wants me to be. I'm grateful for his grace and for the people he's placed in my life. And in fact, he met me in my brokenness and didn't let me stay there. In December, my mama passed. Losing my mama has pressed into my heart how fragile and fleeting time truly is. What once felt abundant now feels precious, measured not in years but moments, conversations, and love shared. Grief has a way of sharpening and your awareness that life is not guaranteed. That every breath and every day is a gift meant to be held with gratitude and intention. In her absence, I am reminded to cherish those still with me, to love more deeply, and to trust that even loss, my days are known and held by God. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 139, and it reads, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You've hemmed me in and behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is light with you. For you form me in my unwound parts. You've knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there are none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would want to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, O men of blood. Depart from me. They speak against you with malice intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred, and I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Thank you for listening and letting me to tell my story. Thank you, Living Hope.
We're truly blessed to have Desmond in the church, to have him part of our family. What a testimony of God just calling him, giving him that desire so many years ago to want to know God. And Desmond, we love you, brother. We're so glad that you are here. I want to invite up Scott and Danielle Page. They are new to the church. Some of you may not know them, but we're glad to have them with us. They are new to staff at River Valley Ranch, one of the ministries just south of us in Maryland that we support. And they've had a significant year of transition, and God's guided them every step.
Yes, that's the perfect way to say it. So yes, we're Danielle and Scott. You might see our two girls running around. Well, one's crawling, but they're in the children's ministry right now. So we're new, and this year has been completely wild, but we know that God has sustained us through it all, and it couldn't have been us that got us through it. So just for a little context, Scott and I met working at a summer camp in Michigan, and we both grew up going there separately. We dedicated our lives to the Lord there and ended up working there at the same time in the summer. And so we dated, got married, and you would have found us last year working in camp ministry in Asheboro, North Carolina. He was in guest services, and I was the registrar there. And while it was a challenging environment, we often clung to Colossians 3:17, which is, whatever you do, work at it with all your hearts as working for the Lord and not for man. But as we did that, we were deeply connected to our church. We had a small group we really loved, and we were excited to expand our family with the birth of Diana in May. And that was our life, and we were really grateful for it.
Starting in the beginning of the year, last year, we were finding out from God that we were going to be leaving that camp, just through different things of discernment and prayer. And so we started to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming events that were going to change ahead. We didn't really know what was going to happen, but we were just preparing for that change. In March, I took a work trip to the local conference center camp association, and I found out there, God showed me that there was plenty of opportunities for us, and I left with the assurance that he would direct our family for the next steps. The day after I got home from that event, we had a house fire. Fortunately, no one was home at the time, but we did end up losing everything that we had. And so God started us on this journey that he had for us. He truly was amazing. He came through in so many ways. He took care of us in every way that we could think of. Our church and our small group cried with us. They supported us emotionally and spiritually, talked with us, and just helped us through that time. Our old family friends and local community helped us financially. God came through, and I mean, it was just more than we would ever have thought that he provided for us when it comes to finances. And then a local church came and stepped in, and they gave us a parsonage for the summer. And so we stayed in that parsonage for 3 months. And during that time, we had our beautiful baby girl in May. It was a crazy time to have a baby, but even more so because it was an unplanned home birth. And God, God made it perfectly easy. That sounds strange, but it was a very quick birth with no complications. It was kind of crazy. And I did have an ear. You can ask Danielle for later if you want more context, because it's a cool story. This summer, we spent in that parsonage. We spent in that parsonage doing job searching, replacing all the belongings that we had, having a newborn, all the stress that comes with all those things. That summer, we probably ate more chocolate chip cookies than we ever had in our life, because we really like chocolate chip cookies. And we were stressed. But we also at the same time prayed and talked to God probably every minute. It felt like it was just surreal how much he provided for us and just came through and helped us through. And then that leads us to, at the end of the summer, God came through and gave us this amazing opportunity to come to Maryland. We've never been to Maryland. And we started working, I started working at River Valley Ranch.
Yeah, the whole story of us getting to River Valley Ranch is really cool. Just like the way that closed doors, like that we thought would be open, were closed for a reason. And we can look back and be like, wow, that was why this was closed. That's why we said no to this. This is why this happened. And so it's just so, so cool. And we're so glad to be here. But yeah, so in August, he led us to River Valley Ranch. And it's just been time and time again. God has affirmed that we're exactly where we need to be. It's so clear that with God, there's no plan B. There's only a recalibrated plan A. And so Scott is a program specialist at the ranch, and we're slowly building back our life. I'm staying home with the girls and just so thankful that we can do that and settle into our new rhythm and new life. So like I said, looking back, we can say confidently that he led us every step of the way. And we're excited to be here and get to know everyone at Living Hope, even if we disappear sometimes because of the camp season. But we're excited to be here. Thanks so much.
Wow. I didn't realize that all that was coming. We could have just had you guys share with all that. I like that. I'm going to use that recalibrated plan A. I like that. But God directing them through this incredibly difficult and challenging season of transition. And wow. To see God's hand at work guiding you guys and giving you discernment. I know that that's an encouragement to many of you, indeed. I want to invite up Jared Ness. I'm blessed to call Jared a friend and to have walked with him and gotten to know him over the last 5 years and sat numerous times at Echo Fresco over a bowl of chips that I ate the majority of. And but man, the Lord's just been doing some amazing work in Jared's life over the last several years, and encouraged to hear you share, man.
Thank you. All right. Good morning, Living Hope. I'm Jared Ness, as Tim mentioned. My family and I have been attending church here for around 4 years. I felt led to share my testimony as the good Lord has tested and transformed me in the past few years. To get started, I was raised in a Christian home with loving, stable parents and faith that was present in my life, even if it wasn't yet central. I was baptized when I was 12. My parents instilled in me a strong work ethic and an attitude of always doing my best. I was a good kid who typically made the right choices and was mature for my age. In college, I was fortunate to meet my wife, Lindy, who was also raised in a Christian home. We quickly started building a comfortable, successful life by the world's standards. I was focused on my career and self-improvement. It seemed as everything I did went really well. From a secular viewpoint, I was more successful than I had ever imagined. I was really good at building my own kingdom. Unfortunately, over time, this bred a false sense of control. It also led to complacency in my faith walk. I feel like I was doing all the right things, when in reality, I was building my life on the sand, thinking I could rely on myself and my performance. Reinforcing this lie was the worldly standard saying, "Hey, you're doing great." This sense of control and feeling like I had the game of life figured out was turned upside down during COVID. This season of my life shattered my sense of control. For the first time in my life, things I trusted myself to manage no longer felt manageable. And I was overwhelmed with fear and anxiety. I'd never felt like that at any point in my 40 years of life. To help paint the picture, I'm going to read part of a daily devotion from Tim Keller's Proverbs book. A good friend of mine gave it to me during this season, which is fitting for what I'm about to read. As April 15th was the darkest day of not being able to fall asleep for several days in a row, when God had me pick up this book, which I turned to April 15th. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The Hebrew word translated as anxiety means the emotional distress caused when something vital to your life is threatened. The key to dealing with anxiety is to look at our heart attitude toward the thing threatened. There are many things that are considered important for a high quality of life in this world. Yet, as we've seen, if we rely on God the most, it makes everything less vital, and thus our lives less fragile. So here I thought I was doing great, and I was really building a fragile life. I realized that I was not in control, and I had been building a life on the sand. Thankfully, this season of testing, God drew me in. It was during this season that I had realized how empty and hollow success is when you're building your kingdom versus God's kingdom. Pastor Tim's sermon back in May of 2024, The One Necessary Thing, really hit home, was showing me how I built my life not giving Jesus my full attention to live a life devoted to knowing and following Christ. This has been a multi-year process of God leading me to start rebuilding my life on the rock. It's been a struggle, but I've been working to build new habits and reprioritize my life centered on Jesus. Instead of chasing self-improvement, I began learning how to slow down and be with Jesus. That's shown up in daily time in scripture and prayer, joining a life group, walking closely with a few Christian men who know me and challenge me. Additionally, this has transformed my view of career. career, hard work, and finances. They're no longer in a self-centered position in my life, but gifts that God has entrusted me to steward for his kingdom. It's also changed how I approach leading my family and parenting. We're learning to lead our family towards being rooted first in a relationship with Jesus and not in performance or self-control. Matthew 7:24-27 says, "Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And a great was the fall of it." As I look to the future, I'm eager to continue to build my life on the rock in this Christian community. Life actually has real meaning and real purpose when I'm focused on building God's kingdom and not mine. He's still working on me, and I'm a hard worker, but I need God's constant reminder that my life is rooted in relationship with him and that his love is based on Christ's work, not mine. It's been inspiring to see how having gone through these trials have opened doors for me to pour into others who are going through similar things. I'm so grateful to God has grown my character through the testing that I'll be able to help others and be more prepared for the storms of life that lie ahead. Thank you.
What a joy, brother, just to hear how that life that seemed like was so firm and stable and yet went and eroded, you found the rock of Christ. Amen. What a joy to see Jared continue to grow as a father, as a husband, as a leader in the church, and to find that stable rock of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I want to invite up Chris Rep to finish out our time. Chris has been a friend and served on the elder team and is a man of strong faith in the midst of his fair share of hardships. This has been an exciting year for him, and he wanted to share what the Lord's done.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm Chris Rep. My wife, Becky, she whispered to me before I came up, 15 years. We've been a part of Living Hope for 15 years. And real quick, before I get started, I wanted to mention something. It's maybe a little plug for a couple weeks from now. I feel like a lot of us who've shared, and I'm going to do this as well, have sort of outed ourselves, talked a lot about struggles and difficulties and places we fell short. And I think Living Hope is amazing in that it is kind of like Mike started with his devotional stories. It's a place where people are comfortable to be open and to share their struggles, to be imperfect. And it's a culture that's really been intentionally built and lived out by the elders. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to get to the end of Romans 7, which is one of my favorite sections of scripture where Paul, this great champion of our faith, just talks about the struggle. So if nothing else, you know, to someone privately or personally, share your struggles and difficulties, because God loves that, and Living Hope is a great place to do that. Okay, so for myself, it's been a really awesome year. We've had a lot of exciting and life-changing things happen. I was sort of given, I guess, halfway through the year, this passage from the Lord about being blessed. Psalms 1:1-4 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On it he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that bears fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers." And I was a little puzzled, because I honestly am not big into passages that seem to be like prosperity passages. I see a lot of struggle in life and my life and the world, and tend to shy away from the ones that can be like, claim this and you'll prosper. But God had purpose for it. So if you looked at my external life through the year, we had amazing things. We had two of our kids get married. It was awesome, you know, walking my daughter down the aisle, seeing her in a wedding dress, and my son getting married, and work. I had an amazing year, best year my company has ever had. My son came to work with us, and I traveled a lot, did really cool jobs. My marriage, we've been married 29 years, and we traveled to Montana to visit friends this last summer, and it was awesome. We recently had our 100th podcast episode, so we did 100 episodes. Yeah, I mean, these are just different areas of my life that I love what God has done, but they also can sort of mask the fact that the external, maybe what I'd say like the Facebook moments, you know, look like everything is great, but behind the scenes of some of those moments, there was not always, this godly man who's served the Lord for 29 years. There was a struggle. There were some times when my heart was, maybe showing up on the wedding day, but in the weeks leading up to the wedding day, when my wife needed me to handle the stress and be strong and be there for her, I was just as freaked out, and I was, you know, stressing alongside of her and causing more tension and more trouble instead of being able to lead and celebrate this day. And hiring my son, same thing. I mean, yay, my son, third generation in the business, and we butt heads, you know, and it just is not as easy as it presents itself to be. Even my sort of signature thing at Living Hope, the head of evangelism, you know, I can recount to you way too many times this past year that I felt urged from the Lord to talk to someone or reach out or pay attention to a need, and I ignored it, and I didn't do what God had called me to do in that moment. And I wish I had a lot of those moments over again. I was too into myself or too scared or worried too much about what they thought of me. So all that subtext on top of these great events that happen, and having served the Lord and been a faithful Christian for so many years, just it creates sort of a sense of like hypocrisy, or just a sense that I'm not what everyone thinks I am. And maybe the people closest to me know it the best, that I'm not who everyone thinks I am. And I just had a sort of dreaded feeling like that some days, and I think it led to some apathy and some just stuff I couldn't even really explain how it was coming out. It's sort of a dissonance, I guess, between who I was supposed to be and who I really was. And fortunately, about halfway through the year, I started this habit of about a year and a half ago, Dan Steele tricked us into taking a dog. And so I started to walk my dog a couple times a week in the morning for about an hour. And man, I just was able to connect with the Lord, quiet down, which usually takes about 45 minutes of quieting. And then the last 15 minutes, I'm actually able to hear him. And he just was able to minister to me. And that's when he gave me that passage. That's when he talked to me about being a prosperous man. And I'm like arguing with him. And, you know, of course, I'm not that. You know, you see me. And there was an analogy Tim preached on a couple months ago about a little girl who was overwhelmed by some circumstances, and she just rushed to her dad's arms and like let him hug her, and just how like peaceful that was for her. And I experienced that on one of these walks in a particular moment. I can picture right now in my head, I probably got as close as I've ever gotten to like hearing the voice of God that like, give it to me, you know, take it. It's yours, God. I can't fix and control and, you know, present myself like I have it all together anyway. And just in silence, I see a path to that Psalm 1 person, you know, being a prosperous man, bearing fruit in season, having leaves that don't wither, and not one that is just me like trying harder to present myself a certain way, but one that actually goes intimate and deep with God, lets him do the work, and becomes what he's wanted me to become all along. So that's what he's done and is doing, and hopefully through as we pray this month and in this year, he's going to continue doing that in my heart. So I'm thankful.
Amen. Thank you, Chris, for leading us in honesty and being open about what the Lord is doing. We all face struggles, but the Lord is there for us. Man, he's spoken powerfully to us this morning. As the worship team comes, as we prepare to close, you know, that Psalm 1 that Chris read is about the tree being planted by the stream. And that's why, despite failures and hardship and stress, you didn't wither, because you were planted by the stream and the roots went down deep. And that's God's call for all of us. It begins with what Joseph talked about in his really, really difficult testimony, but finding acceptance. Friends, strangers, family, you are accepted in the Lord. And would you come to him today and seek acceptance from him? None of you is too low. None of you is too high to not need the Lord God. And so come to Christ and find acceptance in him. We heard Desmond talk about his desire to know God in that psalm that says that God has searched us and knows us. He knows you. He's searched you. He knows you, and he's calling you to know him, to live for him. The testimony Scott and Danielle shared about God directing their family, providing for them, recalibrating his plan for their lives. You might be in the midst of upheaval. You might have just had your house burned down, or your marriage falling apart, or your finances in shambles, or laid off from work, but God will direct and will lead you. And part of that comes through this church family, through friendship, as Anna testified about, having people around you that support you and encourage you and direct you to Christ. You're welcome to the Lord, and you're welcome in this family to find hope in him. As Jared shared, can we be a people in 2026 that build our lives on the rock? Amen. You may be comfortable. You might be successful. You may feel like you're in control. But as he shared, it is empty and it is hollow unless it's built on Christ. So let's stand together and sing this great anthem of our church. Because of God's great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope. And so let's set our hearts and our lives this year on the living hope of Christ.